I'm Savannah.
I'm Rachel.
And this is
That's What She Said.
In season 2, episode 13, titled The Secret, at about 7:52, Dwight has a talking head to the cameras.
Don't be fooled by the phrase dust bunnies. They are vicious little bitches. And if they get into your disk drive, God help you, they will bring your computer to its knees. They sit in corners, hatching, defecating, laying eggs, and their sole purpose in life is to eat dead skin, which humans in this office shed by the boatload, especially Creed. Hi.
Hello there.
I feel like I just saw you, but also I feel like I haven't seen you in a long time at the same time.
Well, we haven't been in the studio.
That's true.
For a while.
In this context. However, some Dundies for this past week.
Yes. Lots of Dundies.
Yes. Rachel and I spent quite a few days together.
On the road.
Some weird, crazy, fun days at the office convention.
Yes.
In Secaucus, New Jersey.
Yeah, the reunion con.
It was crazy. And I don't even know. We didn't know what to expect, but
it was like an episode of The Office.
It literally was. It was just a big open room with a bunch of Office fans. Some of the cast members were there.
Some sets, like the beach game set, uh-huh. Michael's desk.
Uh-huh. And a blow-up version of the Dunder Mifflin building.
Yeah.
If you want to purchase it, it's $17,000.
Just in case you're interested. You can get it.
Yes, yes. We went there and it was amazing. That would be a Dundee.
Tell me a roast.
However, a roast would be that we did pay for 2-day tickets, but we were only able to access the convention for one day.
We were denied access.
That's a funny story. So you'll have to listen to our mini-sode, though, to find out what happened there, because it's...
Yeah, no free content.
You can't make it up. Yeah, right? Exactly. You can't make it up. I felt like Michael Scott all weekend, pretty much.
Yeah. No, I think we were. We were like the butt of the joke and the face of the joke.
Honestly. We were the last joke, if you will.
The last reunion con, supposedly.
Yeah. That's what they say. I don't know if I believe it.
But they auctioned off, like, the PT Cruiser.
Yes.
And I have no, like, those have been at other reunion cons. So maybe it is the last one. I don't know how that works.
That's true. Rachel did buy a lot of raffle tickets, but unfortunately,
no winners.
We did not win the PT Cruiser.
Nope.
Even though she bought the tickets, I was going to say we won it.
It would have been a joint win for the podcast. You're right. Cruising around in Michael's PT Cruiser.
With the top down.
Yeah.
Willow's ears flapping in the wind.
Maybe we'll drive it into a lake or something.
There's no road there. So besides that, was anything else going on with you in the last week?
The weekend was pretty big, right? That was a lot.
It was huge.
I do have a roast. It's kind of a roast. It's like a light roast for the day.
Okay, a toast, if you will.
just like a light toasting, yeah.
Okay.
I went to a bar class today.
Oh.
I've never been to one.
I love bars.
Yeah, I feel, you know what? I was thinking, I was like, I bet this is right up Savannah's alley.
Yes, it is.
And I really enjoyed it. However, I got there a few minutes early,
mm-hmm.
and the class was already starting.
Oh, that's stressful.
So I kind of went back to the desk. I was like, am I supposed to be in there? And they were like, yeah, go ahead. So walking in, I did have a friend with me, which was amazing because we walk in and the instructor stops the class. It's like the time the class is supposed to start on the dot. So not late, they're already moving.
Right.
And stops the class and says, have you ever been here? Do you know what we're doing? And we're like,
God.
No. And so then proceeds to tell us all the props we need. Like stops class. So everyone's kind of watching
this is stressful.
Us.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, all right, just keep going, lady. Like, let me
don't worry
let,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. And then set up in the corner. Great. About 2 minutes in after the warm up, she's like, you know what? You two come up here. You like come right behind me. You're never going to follow along in that back corner. And I was like, oh, I opened my mouth to almost be like, I'm good back here. And then my friend just went. So I was like, okay, I got this. This is fine. We're going to be flexible. But it was like,
This is worst like my case. Worst nightmare.
Worst case scenario. I was just trying to find a new class, but it ended up being fine. Bunch of like older ladies in there, one older gentleman, and they're all like, "You did so good."
Oh my gosh.
Like so courageous. I was like, "Thank you." That's what I needed to hear because I was sweating. And it's all these different sort of, it's like dance, yoga, tai chi, right? All all these sort of movements.
A lot of body control.
Yeah.
Like things you wouldn't think would be difficult, like standing on your tippy toes and like pulsing up and down.
Right.
But it's like really, really difficult.
Right. And painful. She definitely had a good music.
Yeah, that
so
helps.
There's like a little like mamba dance move in there, right. But of course I'm like I don't even want to be looking in the mirror right now. Like first class, just let me be in the back and then get the hang of it. So anyway, like a light toast, because glad I did it. Glad I had a friend with me.
But you kind of got roasted in front of the whole class, basically.
Definitely did, like right behind the instructor.
Oh my god!
I was like, I just don't want to do it. And there are plenty of times where I'm fine with that. It's not a big deal to me.
Yeah.
Today was not one of those days. I was like, I wanted to be in the back. I wanted to just try it out, see what happened.
I didn't want to be perceived.
Right. I didn't want to be in the middle of the class facing a big mirror watching myself doing these. But it was, you know what? We're here to grow.
New things.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this episode is a good one. I mean, I feel like we always say that. However, it is a good one. So I feel like we should just get into it with beach or bear. Yeah.
Can I ask you?
Of course.
Okay. Beach or bear? Mm-hmm. Cheer or fear? Spring cleaning in January.
Bear. For spring cleaning in general, because my parents used to do that every year and it was terrible.
Really?
It would be like a random like Sunday in March. They're like, all right, spring cleaning. And I'm like, no. No.
Like, I like my dust bunnies where they are. Thank you.
They eat my skin cells. My dead skin. Okay, yeah. So that's a bear for me.
Okay.
Any month of the year, honestly.
Okay. Honestly, it's a beat for me because I just love like a cleaning out of everything.
A deep clean.
Yeah,
reset. I could see how that would be very satisfying. However,
you're traumatized. I understand.
The residual trauma that I have. Yeah.
Okay, number two, Dwight's detective work in this episode.
Mm. On Oscar?
Yes, and his investigation skills.
I'm going to say a bear because they kind of suck. His skills kind of suck. He tries to use, like, in-person tools on Oscar over the phone.
On the
phone.
So
it doesn't make sense.
He needs to work on his investigator skills there.
Yes.
True. Okay. Michael with a corporate credit card. Beat or bear?
I'm going to say beat. Because honestly, I've had some bosses who treat their corporate card like they are Michael Scott.
Really?
And that's kind of awesome. When you're not the one responsible. Okay.
That's true.
So I'm going to say beat for that. Because that is fun.
How about Jim's secret crush finally revealed?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to give my third bear of this segment because he tells the absolute wrong person.
Yeah. It hurts a little bit.
It's unfortunate.
Okay. Last but not least of the normal number five, I do have a bonus one for you.
Okay.
But last but not least, Oscar's secret.
That he's gay?
Mm.
I'm going to say B because I like Oscar's lore and we're finding out more about him, you know?
Gil.
Mm.
Okay, the bonus beat or bear.
Yes.
Grape soda.
It's grape
soda. How do you feel about grape soda?
I love grape soda.
Okay, excellent. Because me too.
I love it. So it's going to get a beat for me.
Beautiful. Okay, let's get into the plot points.
All right. So it is January in the office.
The start of a new year.
New year.
Same old Michael.
Same office, same Michael, same old shenanigans. Okay. The cold open for this one is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It starts off with a great joke. Does this smell like Up Dog in here, by the way?
What's Up Dog?
Nothing much. What's up with you? So the cold open starts off with Jim
mm-hmm.
asking who?
Pam.
Pam, does it smell like Updog in here? Right?
Yes. And she responds, I think that happens off camera, because when it opens, they're just giggling.
Right.
And then Michael walks in.
And Jim plays this joke on Michael.
Because he says, where's the funny? Give it to me. He has to be involved in every giggle.
Of course. So then Jim, you know, says, doesn't it smell like Updog in here? And he's like, what's Updog? And Jim's like, nothing much. What's up with you? And Michael is like, he's like so in love with this joke. He decides to steal it and use it on other people.
Attempts to.
Fails miserably.
Every time. And the one time he does get Dwight, he gets so excited that he just laughs and says, gotcha.
And he's like, oh, that's not...
And then he's like, how are you? And Dwight's like, I'm good. How are you?
And then he just storms off.
Just ruins the joke. But I love that because someone he thinks is cool says something he thinks is funny.
Yes.
And he like takes it for himself and butchers it.
Well, and he tried it on so many other people too. I don't think he was expecting Dwight to actually
fall
for the joke. He tries to do the Updog joke on Stanley, and Stanley's like, I'm on the phone. Like, he doesn't even entertain it at all.
And then someone else that responds not in the right way, Ryan or someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. So, Updog.
Updog and spring cleaning.
Updog, yes. So that's the cold open, and then when the episode starts, we find out that they are spring cleaning the office in January. And it's on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar just so happens to be out sick, quote unquote. Michael and Dwight are suspicious of this.
Because out sick on a Friday, on spring cleaning day.
Right.
So they give him a few phone calls and mm-hmm. he lists his symptoms. He mm-hmm. sniffles.
He sounds sick.
He sounds very sick. Dwight's Googling his symptoms on WebMD.
WebMD.
And then Dwight asks for permission to investigate officially. Mm-hmm. And not head up the spring cleaning in the office. And Michael says, yes, this takes full priority. Office needs to run efficiently. And if people are taking sick days, how can that happen?
Right. So poor Oscar keeps getting bothered with phone calls, like, from Dwight.
He's, like, trying to sleep and run to the pharmacy.
Yes,
and
Dwight is trying to, like, analyze his sniffles and coughs and his voice and all of that.
And this is where he details how to know if someone is lying.
Right. Which is eye contact, covering the face, specifically the mouth, profusely sweating.
Yep.
However, he wasn't talking to Oscar in person. It was over the phone. So none of these things matter.
He can't tell if he's avoiding eye contact. I mean, it's so funny. His investigation skills are rough.
Terrible.
He's interviewing Pam. He's interviewing Ryan. He's trying to gather facts on how he sounds. And
right.
Presumably, this takes over Dwight's entire day.
And he's standing at Pam's desk trying to be nonchalant, but he's like digging through the jelly beans, picking out only the black ones.
And then he's like, who took all the black ones?
Ugh, and his teeth are all black. It's so disgusting.
She's like, that's a communal bowl.
And then she dumps it out when he walks away.
Yeah. So that's the start of spring cleaning. Kind of just chaos in the office, trying to figure out what Oscar's doing on his sick day.
Mm-hmm.
We do find that Michael has a crossword puzzle from the year 96.
Hey, that's the year we were born.
Yeah. That he asks Ryan to keep. And Ryan's like, are you sure it's like from the 90s? And he's like, yeah, I'll finish it later. And there's one line filled in. Do you remember this? It's
Judd?
An extended. Yeah.
Judd? Question
Mary, Kate, and Ashley.
Judd? Question mark?
Just a classic 90s crossword puzzle.
Mary-Kate and Ashley, gotta love it.
Gotta love them. Wow, especially because they were twins.
You can relate.
It was like, I'm Mary-Kate and you're
Stop.
Ashley. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the first thing that's happening. Spring cleaning in January. The other thing that's happening is on the Booze Cruise episode,
mm-hmm.
Jim confided in Michael.
Mm-hmm.
That he used to have a crush on Pam.
Quote unquote, used to.
Used to. Because he was so upset. He had a few drinks, broke up with Katie. Roy and Pam set a date on that booze cruise, if you remember.
June 10th.
June 10th. So Michael is like busting at the seams, trying to keep this secret.
I don't know how he's kept it this long, honestly.
Honestly, because there's an episode in between.
Right.
But Jim is very regretful. because Michael keeps making references to it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's so pumped to have a secret, he, like, can't even help it. Throughout the office, though. So, like, Pam lets her hair down at one point, mm-hmm. and he kind of walks over to Jim and says, "This must be killing you."
Yep.
And he makes little comments, like, in front of Stanley at the vending machine.
The PAM situation. PAM.
It's okay. We're talking code. And Jim's like, shut up. So it's pretty rough because Jim has asked him to keep the secret confidential.
Right.
And he still can't stop making references.
Yeah. He just can't help himself. And also, I feel like he wants to be friends with Jim and connect with Jim
best
so badly. Yes. So badly that I also feel like he probably feels special. Because Jim shared this with him as well.
Yes.
It's just, like, feeding that, like, eagerness to be close to him, you know?
That's so true. And I do think there is a talking head where Michael says, yeah, Jim and I share secrets. Like, mm-hmm. we're best friends. Like, the mm-hmm. fact that he told only me, I'm the only one who knows. Mm-hmm. How special is that?
Right.
And Jim's like, I confided in the world's worst confidant.
Like, literally. The worst. So, it gets to a point where Jim realizes he's got to get out of the office with Michael, and Michael suggests that they go to lunch together.
Where do they go?
Hooters.
The boobs and the hot wings.
On the company card.
Hooters.
Hooters. You should order milk.
So we get to Hooters, and it's Jim and Michael at a table. Jim's, like, ordering the same thing he was going to have for lunch anyway.
Ham and cheese sandwich, we were trying to decide before we recorded this if they even had that, because
it's like deli meat.
That, and also, why would you go to a great wing place and order a ham and cheese sandwich?
I guess that just shows how much he didn't want to be there, but felt 100%. Like he had to, right?
100%.
Because he was just going to eat that out of his little brown paper bag in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So Michael's making all these inappropriate comments. He's like, you should order milk. And then he orders, like, a chicken breast, hold the chicken.
Boobs and hot wings. And he's trying to flirt with the waitress. And he's saying, like, him and Jim are brothers, like, fraternity brothers. And she's like, oh, what frat? And he's like, I'm just kidding. And then he tries to order the chicken breast, hold the chicken. And she's like, is that what you really want?
She's not having it. I mean, they're, like... It's normal reaction to Michael Scott, right? Disgusted, mm-hmm. and he's, like, trying to flirt or thinks it's funny. Mm-hmm. He's out with his bro, and they share secrets at Hooters? Come on.
Besties. He thinks they're total BFF.
It's a version of Date Mike coming out.
It is.
It's the, like, wannabe, like, frat bro Mike.
Yes, 100%. And then he does ask Jim what he likes best about Pam. Legs or boobs?
Is it her legs or boobs? And then Jim has he's like, I don't want to talk about it. But he has a thoughtful answer about, like, her personality. She's easy to talk to. Right. Like, we laugh. And then Michael's like, oh, she never gets any of my jokes.
Oh, my God.
And Jim says, okay, like, haha, what about you? And Michael says, her boobs, definitely.
I mean, he's honest, I guess.
Jim's like, that's not what I meant. Oh, like, what do you find attractive about women? Oh. Yeah, so every attempt to be, like, genuine with Michael is just, it's just Hooters.
Right. So then they end up having matching Hooters shirts.
Yes, Michael buys him a shirt, a gift, a tribute to their time together.
Yes, and they...
The Holy Grail of Hooters.
The Holy Grail of Hooters. So they make it back to the office. Michael has a new hairstyle.
Yes.
He has gymmed up his hairstyle.
Which just means, like, messing it up.
He fluffed it up. Yeah. It's not, like, slicked back anymore. It's, like, over his forehead.
It's like Justin Bieber bangs almost.
Yes, yes. And he's trying to expense the lunch in accounting. And Angela's like, this is from Hooters. Like,
he said,
we can't expense
this. He said it was a business lunch.
I mean, I guess he's not wrong. It was business.
It was business.
Was it professional business? I don't know.
So they end up, you know, Toby and Michael end up talking. And Toby's like, you just got your corporate credit card back. Like, don't make me take this away. And then there's a talking head. Do you remember why Michael lost his corporate card in the first place?
Because he spent $80 at a magic shop. Magic. Is that related to Magic Camp? I guess we don't know.
He's like, I put a cigarette through a freaking quarter.
Like, no one appreciates that.
Yeah, and he did it to impress clients. So, in his head, it's a business expense.
I mean.
So, Michael's getting frustrated, right? He hates Toby. He hates that accounting's threatening to take away his card and not pay for this lunch. And what does he blurt out?
He blurts out that Jim has a crush on Pam.
Yeah. He's like, I had to take one of my employees who's in love with a girl who he works with, who's engaged. And Kelly is in the next cubicle. Talkative Kelly peeks over and goes, Pam?
The gossip queen.
The gossip queen.
Kelly lives for this stuff.
I know. So the cat's out of the bag now, and the little gossip birdies are starting in the office. So there's little shots of Phyllis and Angela, right? Who would you choose, Jim or Roy?
Right.
And Angela's like, that's not appropriate. Roy.
She would. She would.
Yeah, she would. And then, you know, Creed and Kevin. Kevin's like, oh, Jim's got it bad for Pam. And Creed's like, oh, which one's Pam?
Doesn't know who Pam is.
Everyone's like, nice. Like, she's so hot. You know, it's. And Jim's like, oh, gosh. Okay. Like, this is like out.
The worst possible scenario, but it's very expected, knowing that Michael Scott was the confidant of the secret. You know what I mean?
I guess it was. There was all that like tension building once Jim told Michael. Like, you knew that was
going to come back. Time. Yes,
it happens in just the worst way. Like, you feel bad for Michael a little.
I know, and also because he, I don't know, he just royally screwed up. Like, and he was hoping to be really close with Jim over it, and now Jim is pissed.
Yeah. So all Jim knows is that people in the office know, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we go into the kitchen where Jim and Pam are talking about, you know, casually talking about spring cleaning and their days together.
Right.
And Jim kind of takes a deep breath and says, hey, just want you to hear this from me. I, you know, admit that I used to have a crush on you when I first started working here. And I told Michael about it.
Right. And he says, like, he used to, like, he emphasizes that, I think. And he, like, says, I don't anymore, kind of, you right. know.
He assures her it's over. It's not a big deal. Yes. Like, and it's a little weird, but they're kind of their normal selves, right? She says, oh, yeah, like, I kind of thought maybe you did when you first started work. And he's like, oh, great. You saw right through me. Like, well, it's cute and funny, though.
Yeah. But I do feel like there is a slight, like, disappointment in Pam's eyes, like, when he's saying, like, used to, and, like, he doesn't anymore. Because it's obvious that she has a crush on him, even though she's engaged to Roy, you know, obviously. Right.
It's interesting that Jim says, hey, as soon as I found out you were engaged, like, I was over it. And, like, not for, like, not that that, I guess that could be true, but, like, feelings don't work like that.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
And they're obviously, like, have a connection. So anyway, Jim's like, it was 3 years ago. I'm over it. Just so you know, like, I wanted you to hear it from me.
Right.
So it is a little bit of resolution. And you feel good that Pam got it directly from the source.
Right.
So her and Jim are good. But there's still a little. Yeah.
It's still lingering, you know?
It's still lingering.
Ugh.
So that's kind of the end there.
Right.
In terms of in the office. So then we're going to follow Dwight. So Dwight has been doing his investigation and he is now doing surveillance. So he's at Oscar's house.
He's taking this seriously. I'm telling you, if someone from my job showed up to my house to see if I was really sick, I would be like,
huge breach of privacy.
What? Yes.
And he's sitting outside his home watching as this car pulls in. Oscar and a man get out with shopping bags and ice skates, and Dwight pulls in and busts them. He climbs out of his car. He's like, you weren't really sick. Like, gotcha.
And Dwight says that Oscar owes him a favor, like, you know, saying that he won't tell and that he was lying about being sick and stuff. And but Oscar, it's funny because Dwight doesn't necessarily catch on to what is going on here. He doesn't realize that Oscar's gay.
And that's the secret.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
That's Oscar's secret, is that he's, you know, involved with a man.
Yes.
And Gil is like, who is this? And he's like, this is Dwight from my work. So also maybe Gil thinks that Dwight is like another man.
Maybe it's catching like a love triangle. Right. Right.
And Dwight, it's right over his head. He goes, guess what I found out about Oscar tonight? He was lying about being sick.
Dwight is so, like, almost so smart, he's stupid. Know. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my gosh.
It's such a good, it's so good, because also Oscar's, like, minor kind of up until now. Mm-hmm. And love that for Oscar.
I know.
And he's like holding his hand behind Dwight.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
We get a little glimpse into his house and personal life.
I love Oscar. I also feel like this episode titled The Secret, I feel like at its core is truly about Oscar. Because as the audience, we already know about Jim and Pam. You know what I'm saying? So like, and the secret really is Oscar.
Similar to the injury where there's two things happening. Michael's burned foot, Dwight's concussion. Mm-hmm. The secret, Jim and Pam and Oscar.
Yes.
It's interesting. It definitely blurs the work-life balance. Yeah,
100%. 100%.
So, gay Oscar. We love it.
Gay Oscar.
And then we cut back to the office. Michael is, like, crying in his office as Jim walks in and is like, I hope this doesn't affect our friendship. Mm. Jim is like, what happened? Like, dude, like,
Michael's stressing out. Stressing.
He feels horrible. Like, he feels so bad for spilling the beans. And him and Jim kind of shake hands and they're okay. Jim has resolved it on his own. He's like, okay, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
But then Pam walks into Michael's office. And Michael tries to soothe the situation.
Right.
And just sprinkles a little dirt in the wound.
As he does.
Yeah. So Michael tries to address everything that happened with the secret. Pam's like, it's good. Jim and I talked. I know he had a crush on me when he first started working here.
Right.
And Michael goes, it wasn't that long ago. Like, it was on the booze cruise. And she goes, Jim had a crush on me on the booze cruise? Or he told you about it on the booze cruise?
Yes.
And Michael's like, I'm done. Shut it, Michael. But Pam gets a little window into, oh, okay, maybe this is more recent than we're making it out to be in this. So my favorite scene, we have to finish with this, leaving for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Iconic scene, Jim and Pam walking out together, get on the elevator, and they kind of like one looks at the other and then looks away, and then the other one looks at the other and looks away. And the timing of that scene is like they're missing each other's glances.
Passing ships in the night.
Literally, like the connection. So that is the end where it's this kind of like poignant, almost sad.
Yeah, very sad because, I mean, it's January. Her wedding is in June, so that's quickly approaching. Mm-hmm. And it's just like this episode and the booze cruise, we've seen Jim really kind of
more emotional.
Open up about this. And
like, he's clearly like kind of wrecked by this. It's not their like normal fun goofiness. Right. It's like they set a date for the wedding.
I was going to say, especially since they set the date, it's like becoming more real for everyone involved. Like, Pam is realizing it, I feel like. And then Jim is also coming to the realization of like, she's going to be the one that got away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So sad. So also, I feel like it's kind of a turn of like, I'm not as annoyed with them flirting in the office anymore. Mm. It's becoming of like, I kind of ship them now, even though she's still engaged. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, because there's so much like yearning for both of them underneath it.
I know.
And you see how much they both care about each other.
I know.
Just even like, just as people.
Mm-hmm.
And care about each other's perception and dance around each other. And you're right. Like, there's something like really deep and sad about it.
Mm-hmm.
More so than just the like, oh, they're so perfect for each other. It's like, no, they're like timing's off or like some, which is like a very realistic, universal feeling.
Right person, wrong time situation. Yes. And Roy just, we all know how I feel about Roy.
Yeah.
But
he's not supposed to be likable. Yes. I don't think.
Yeah.
Jim is so likable.
I know.
So, so that's it for the plot points.
Okay, I want to get into some of this trivia because we have some really good facts. At least I do. I'm sure you do too.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones for this episode. I will read just from The Office, The Untold Story of the Greatest Sitcom of the 2000s by Andy Green.
AKA the Bible.
AKA our office Bible. I'll read a line or two from Lee Eisenberg about the scene in this episode where Jim admits to Pam he has a crush on her or had a crush on her.
Okay.
He says, the scene between Jim and Pam in the kitchen is one of my favorite scenes that we've ever written, where he's like, I used to have a crush on you, but now I don't. Then Michael reveals his secret to everyone in the office, and he's so excited that Jim confided in him, and he's like, I will hold on to that secret for as long as I can. It felt so real and in character.
Wow.
So it sounds like, I mean, I don't know if they wrote that line.
Yeah.
But
as long as I can.
It's truly like,
it's so genuine.
Sad. Yeah. So they really gave Michael a heart just in that little bit where you're like, please keep the secret, Michael.
Even though we know he can't. But we know he can't.
More vulnerable than he's ever been.
I know.
So
that's true. That's a great one.
Yeah. What do you have?
Okay. So this is something I didn't consider. Okay. But there are three secrets in this episode, not just two.
Three.
Jim's crush on Pam, Oscar being gay, and Dwight and Angela's relationship. It's still a secret.
Ooh. Do they interact in this episode?
They do. They are in accounting, and Dwight is assigning spring cleaning tasks to everyone.
Oh.
And it comes to Dwight's attention that Oscar is not there, and he asks Angela, where is Oscar? And Angela says, he's out sick. And he's like, that's unacceptable. And she's like, I agree. It's unacceptable.
Yes. And then they shared standards.
And then they kind of smirk at each other, and Kevin's like, what are you guys doing?
Even
Kevin catches on to it.
Yeah, so that's a great point.
Again, it's kind of similar to Jim and Pam, where it's like the audience knows it's going on, but it's still a huge secret kept from the rest of the coworkers.
Wow, that's a great point. I guess they do reference that. And you know what? Watching it back,
mm-hmm.
I can probably glaze over that because I've seen it so many times and I know they're together.
Exactly.
But the first, second, third, whatever time I watched it,
mm-hmm.
I probably was like, Dwight and Angela. That's a great one.
Yeah, so there are actually three secrets in this episode, not just two.
Speaking of Lee Eisenberg, I just read the quote, a writer on the show. Lee Eisenberg and Gene Stupnitsky wrote the script in one day, apparently.
One day?
This was sort of a quick script for them.
Oh my gosh.
Apparently.
In one day?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the average, like, length...
That's a good question.
Time it, yeah, like takes them
for
to write
a sitcom comedy show. I wouldn't even begin to guess, but one day seems pretty fast.
Yeah, I know. I agree. That's interesting, though. I wonder what their process is. Like, how do you come up with this stuff? Honestly.
Yeah.
Okay.
They just go to Hooters and observe.
Honestly, when we went to Chili's, I felt inspired. So I get it. I get it.
Inspired by the quesadillas.
The secret menu.
The secret cheese quesadillas.
Okay, so the shooting location for Oscar's house is in Los Angeles, California. If you notice, the camera is careful not to pan past Oscar's house because the fake snow in the scene extended only to the house's front yard.
So I actually noticed in that scene there are like green, very green trees.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Probably because it's like 75 degrees and sunny and great and
beautiful.
It's supposed to be January in Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's funny. I did notice that. I was like, that foliage looks really ripe.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good one. Apparently, Jenna Fischer and John Krasinski both say that this is one of their favorites.
Really?
I guess. Yeah. Those two actors for this episode in particular. Huh. Fisher says it's because Krasinski gave a great performance, and he cites Creed's "Which one is Pam?" as his single favorite one-liner
That's
in the
so
whole
good.
Series.
So good.
I love that. And I think Lee Eisenberg also said this was one of his favorite lines ever written on the show. When Creed's like, which one's Pam? Perfectly sums up his character.
My gosh. Totally. Totally spacey and just out of it all the time.
Just doesn't even know
what's going on.
He knows her as the receptionist.
Right.
He would like a seat facing the receptionist.
Ugh.
He's tired of looking at the redhead all day.
Ugh. I know you. I saw you in the parking lot earlier.
Great.
Okay. So after Jim tells Pam he had a crush on her 3 years ago, she returns to her desk. Jenna Fischer was so overcome with her character's emotions that she cried at the desk.
Whoa.
The crying did not make it into the final episode, but she, like, broke character and, like, cried. In honor of Pam, I guess.
Yeah, just for that moment of truth being revealed and finally out in the open.
Yes. And I do think I read somewhere that Jenna Fisher did have a crush on John Krasinski, like, in real life, too. And I think, too, like, I mean, I feel like when you...
The rapport they have.
Yes, the natural rapport and natural, like, chemistry. And you're playing two people who are, like, slowly falling in love with each other. Like, I feel like there's got to be some sort of, like,
connection. Riding the waves with them.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure.
That's a great point. So, my last piece of trivia is that Steve Carell improvised a lot of the Hooters lines.
Really?
Apparently,
he did. Me love it even more.
They're like, the chicken just list? They're like, just be Michael Scott. Just be Michael Scott in Hooters. That's all you gotta do.
That's amazing. So I guess then the waitress just kind of had to, like, riff off of him, I guess.
Well,
like,
she probably just had to be annoyed the whole time.
True, true.
And Jim had to be embarrassed.
Easy to do around Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Easy to be embarrassed.
But you know what we did learn, trivia-wise? Jim, this is Jim's lunch. He always has a ham and cheese sandwich. And this is, like, the first episode.
The intro to that.
Yeah. To Jim's ham and cheese lore.
Yeah. Which...
Basic white boy.
Look.
White bread.
Ham.
Yellow cheese coming out of plastic.
Kraft singles. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Speaking of the Hooters waitress, aside from Dana, the other waitresses are real Hooters waitresses.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they just went to a Hooters?
I guess so. I don't have that information, but...
That's not part of it.
It kind of reminds me... Yeah, it kind of reminds me of...
Chili's. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
same kind of thing. Which is cool. I mean, I feel like it makes it a little more authentic, you know?
That is cool. I mean, it's also probably in L.A., though. It's not in Scranton,
it's
right?
It's in L.A. Hooters.
They're L.A. Hooters girls. Very different from Scranton Hooters girls.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. My cold walk, my hot take... For this episode, we know that Michael didn't go to college.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, it was the fire episode where we find out that Michael didn't go to college because Ryan has all of his books in the back of his car.
For business school,
and they talk about it. And yes, we find out Michael did not attend college.
Right. School of Hard Knocks.
That's right.
So... He never went to college, but in this episode, in Hooters, he talks about rushing fraternities.
Because him and Jim are fraternity brothers, quote unquote.
And so this is how that comes up. Him and Jim are fraternity brothers. Michael rushed a few frats, but he doesn't believe in paying for friendships.
Right.
And so he decided not to accept any offers from the fraternities he was rushing.
That's right.
And luckily, none were made.
Because he never actually went to college.
Like, yeah. So
he, like,
how,
outright lied about that and made all of that
but
up.
I don't think it seems like he's lying in the episode.
No, he's
I think
doing
it's
a
just,
really good job of, like, telling the story.
Oh,
alignment. You think that the writers... Oh.
We were on two different pages.
We were. I mean, that's a great point. I guess I never thought about that. I guess we'll have to see in future episodes if he talks about college anymore or if that comes up again to confirm.
Yeah. Because
that's
I think his character just doesn't line up.
Yeah.
Because they make it like a joke about him rushing frats and deciding not to accept any offers, but nobody wants him in their frat.
Right.
And that fits his character.
It definitely does.
But then we already know he didn't go to college.
Exactly.
So that's the, yeah.
Well, and was the fire episode, is that season one or two?
Season two, episode four.
Okay, so it's in the same season as this one, which is, how do they not catch that?
Yeah, so maybe you're right. Maybe he's supposed to be
lying.
No, I don't think so. I think it's a genuine talking head.
Yeah. How will we know?
How would we know? Somebody help us out with this one, because now I'm confused a little bit.
Well, I never thought of the, possibility of the writers miswriting his character. I never thought of that possibility.
You're
I
right.
just always thought he was lying because he wanted to have some sort of bond to Jim and then also wanted to make himself look cool and say he rushed frats and stuff.
In a talking head. I see what you're saying.
But I don't know. But also, I feel like usually in talking heads, he's pretty honest because it's just him and the camera crew.
Exactly.
You know? So that makes you think like, well, wait.
Exactly. I think it was a genuine story.
That makes sense.
Ooh,
that's a good cold walk, actually.
Wow. We've never debated this hotly.
I know. That's what she said. Okay, that's a good one. Possibly more to come on that. We may have to do research.
I think we do.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your cold walk?
Okay, so mine has to do with, again, I have like a cold walk and a half here.
Mm-hmm.
So my first one is about office snacks and beverages. I want to talk about the peach iced tea that Michael gets for Stanley on Stanley's dime when Stanley wanted a soda. And he says,
You're going to hate it.
I personally like peach.
Yeah, yes.
I love peach iced tea.
I think the same thing every time I watch that. I'm like, peach iced tea sounds delicious.
It's so good. I mean, maybe in January, maybe not, but like, it's good. And it's got a little caffeine in it, you know, like,
yes,
it's good.
Delicious. You don't have to convince me.
Maybe he just is that like a diabetic joke that Michael is making? Like, he just assumes Stanley wants like sugar and like soda.
I don't know. Never thought it was that deep. I think he was just being a jerk.
You're going to hate it.
You're going to hate it.
I want to talk about the black jelly beans. The black jelly beans. I hate them. I know we just discussed black licorice and that you and your family love them.
Shout out Janine.
Janine loves the black licorice, okay? But, like, to see Dwight housing them and, like, to have them, like, smeared all over his teeth, it makes me ill. Like,
he's also, the way he's, like...
Ew, just, like, digging around in them.
In the bowl, like...
And just, like, specifically going for the black ones. I'm like, the red ones are really good.
He's skipping over the pink. He's sleeping on green.
I know. So, also, that's an ick for me. So, I wanted to mention that as well in my cold walk. And then the other half of my cold walk is Jim telling Michael the secret. This is annoying to me because we should have known this was coming. I mean, we as the audience knew, but Jim should have known this was coming.
So why do you think he confided in
Michael? Why do I think he confided in Michael?
Because you're right that he should have known.
Yeah. I think on the booze cruise, I think he was kind of at his wit's end, especially with Pam and Roy disclosing their date and announcing their date. And I think he was just kind of over it. He literally broke up with his girlfriend right there on the spot.
Yeah.
And then he was drinking. Everyone was drinking. But, like, I think it's hard because I feel like he felt in that moment that he kind of lost his best friend
in a way, in Pam.
Mm-hmm. Like, she's kind of the one that he confides in for, like, everything aside from the fact that he's, like, in love with her. But I think he went to the next best thing. I think him and Michael do have a better relationship than what is portrayed,
mm-hmm.
maybe. Like, maybe they're closer. But at the same time, you can't trust the man with anything.
Yeah. Well, and...
So I think it was just a moment of weakness, to be quite honest
with
you.
And Michael was there.
And he was there, and he was willing to listen. And yep. I feel like Jim probably felt like, what else do I have to lose? Like, I don't even care.
And you know what? And Michael also was vulnerable
in that moment.
And maybe made it easier.
Yeah. And he just wasn't thinking about the consequences.
Yeah, he was clearly emotional that night.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mistakes were made.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to get into the Dundies.
Dundies. We're
going to award some Dundies for this episode.
Tell me your Dundie for this episode, Savannah.
Okay. My Dundie goes to Dwight K. Schrute. He gets the Sherlock Holmes Dundie.
Have you given that before?
It is possible.
We should check on that.
I'm going to search my notes. However, he's going to get this Dundie. Oh, we talked about Sherlock Holmes in our Houdini episode.
Mm.
The Houdini Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was friends with Arthur Conan Doyle.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, Dwight's commitment to investigating Oscar. He drove to his house.
He dropped everything at the office that day.
Everything. All his responsibilities. Shirked.
Heading up spring cleaning is like a Dwight Schrute dream come true.
True.
And he gives that up. To head up this investigation.
all day long. I wonder how many missed calls he had.
Honestly, this is also interesting for Dwight's character because it's like the vigilante part of his.
Very true.
You know, because he's like a nerd, you know, like loves his office, right? Like wants to please his boss. Mm-hmm. But it's also, I guess, him and Michael's friendship.
Yeah, and he just wants to please Michael, you
and
know?
Michael's like, yeah, drop what you're doing. Look into this.
And Michael wants to boss him around, which is why they work.
Right. And then Michael says, this is a huge problem in offices, like people taking off work on a Friday.
Right.
He's like, I looked this up. Can you believe that 2 out of 5 sick days are taken on a Friday or a Monday?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're invested. They want to catch Oscar in the act. So, anyways, while I don't like necessarily what Dwight did, the investigating in general, I do applaud him for his effort. So he gets the Sherlock Holmes Dundee for me.
That's beautiful. I feel like that's a great comparison.
Thank you.
Dwight Schrute, Sherlock Holmes.
I agree. What's your Dundee?
My Dundee is the boss/friend Dundee.
Ooh.
And that is referring to Michael Scott himself in this episode. He refers to himself, to Pam, I believe, or Jim, Pam or Jim.
Right.
As their, he says, hey, you know, I feel responsible as your boss/friend.
Mm.
And I feel like it might be the first time he says that out loud. And to me, that like encapsulates Michael Scott.
That is true.
Like calling him, being like, it's my job to step into your personal life as your boss, but I'm also your friend. It's like the ultimate like power play.
For sure. And he just like, he can't just be the boss. He has to try to be your best friend too. Like he has to.
He can't stop himself.
The lines are constantly blurred. Like
he will try so hard to keep your secret, but he just
can't.
Won't do it for long.
No.
Okay, I think that wraps up this episode. Look out for our minisode on the Office Reunion Con.
Yes.
That was our weekend. So go listen to that. Reach out to us on Instagram. We're really getting into the good stuff.
That's what she said.
All right, we got to wrap this up. We can just be honest with our listeners, Savannah.
All right, we gotta wrap this up.
We don't have to lie to them.
We gotta wrap this up. Hit the button. I can't even look at you right now.
That's what she said.